Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. New unemployment claims went down again and are now at the lowest level since September of 2008. Green shoots? Here's one more. Durable goods orders increased. The United States Senate passes a health care financing reform bill. It's just a bill on Capitol Hill, but now it goes to conference. Pope Benedict XV was attacked but not hurt by a woman who was reportedly mentally unstable. He continued the Christmas Mass. The attack had nothing to do with the Pope's moving towards elevating Pope Pius XII towards sainthood, which apparently doesn't reflect on the Pope's sanity. According to TechCrunch, about 500,000 Barnes & Noble's Nookie readers will have shipped by March, despite the company only making 60,000 of the devices available in December. Okay, the only reason I read that story was for the phrase Nook e-readers. Crude oil prices went up over $78 a barrel. Hey, Exxon, can you say recession? In a study, the drug sold under the brand name Tylenol, also known by its more proper name of acetaminophen, appears to numb the emotional pain of emotional rejection. The study did not discuss the subject, however, of liver rejection. It's a very slow news day. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That would be me. All of that, news of the weird, and a special guest, an extremely special guest, Alicia Bushman, my lovely bride, with whom we'll talk about simple life, simplicity, lifestyle, and depth. And we'll also have a program note about next week. And if there's time, we'll have our endpoint essay from several weeks ago when we couldn't deliver it due to technical difficulties. And now those stories. But first, that cup of coffee feels so great in your hands. The aroma goes right to your brain as you breathe it in. The cabin's warming up for the family because you had the foresight to get the fireplace going. And now the smell of that burning wood is mixing with your coffee. It took time and work to get to the point that you could just get up and go to the cabin whenever you wanted to. But it also took being smart. You were smart enough, for example, to know that if you're in business and have a website, you're really in business when you're also blogging. You went to jeffonblogging.blogspot.com and chose Blog Wizardry to write your blogs for you. It was inexpensive, it was well done, and it increased traffic to your website and your company. Even though the cabin's getting nice and toasty, you can hear the wind blowing through the trees and get a sense of the brisk outside air. What was that noise? You go to the window. A doe and her fawn. It's going to be a good day. Blog Wizardry. Jeff on blogging.blogspot.com. And we're back. Before we talk about the other news, I wanted to tell you about something involving radio, which I found interesting, and perhaps one or two of you will as well. Following the success of the BlackBerry and iPhone applications, Clear Channel Radio rolled out something called iHeartRadio, for I Love Radio, but they actually refer to it as iHeartRadio, for smartphones with the new Android mobile operating system, which has been distributed by Google to cell phone operators free of charge. And you can find that apparently online at the Android store or at the iHeartRadio website. The free application requires users to have the version 1.5 or any subsequent version of the Android operating system, and it's compatible with a number of phones, including Motorola Droid, the HTC Droid Eris, and MyTouch. And Google estimates there are actually about 18 of these name brand phone models using Android. It gives you 400 audio streams from different Clear Channel stations, and it also gives users access to a number of digital-only Clear Channel properties, such as, and I've never heard of these, E-Rockster, Pride, Christina Aguilera Radio, and I was just trying to get my copy of that, Eagles Radio, and White House Brief, and it supplies additionally a variety of on-demand audio and video content. So if you have a smartphone or are contemplating getting one, that's something to think about, which also dovetails to our program notes that I wanted to give you. And before I do that, I want to give out the phone number should you wish to call and join us. You probably won't have a lot of competition tonight because, pardon me, it being Christmas Eve, we're not expecting a whole lot of listeners. We hope you are listening. And if you're listening live, of course, you are the exception. But if you're listening in archive mode, we are on every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9:30. If I did that right, no, that's 3 hours. That's wrong. I beg your pardon. From 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time, 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific Eastern, rather. I'll get that entirely screwed up. If you give me just another minute, I'll try that again. 6:30 to 7:30 in the Pacific time zone, 8:30 to 9:30 in the Eastern time zone. Okay. Anyway, the phone number, should you wish to call in any time zone, is area code 347-994-3796. The program notes to which I referred a moment ago are the following. Number one, next week, which is New Year's Eve, and as the song goes, just another New Year's Eve, but it won't be just another program. We will be off the air because we need to celebrate New Year's Eve, during which we generally go to sleep around 10 o'clock. But we will be off the air then, but we'll be returning on the following Thursday, which should be January 7th, and we are scheduled to have a guest who is another Blog Talk Radio host who will be talking about, I beg your pardon, actually that's not that week, it's January 14th. January 14th, make sure to tune in, because we're having a guest who is going to be talking about the Android phone system, the Android operating system that Google has put out and is open source and free. For those of you who don't know what open source is, I expect you still know what free means. And in brief, when an operating system is free to the cell phone providers and to its users, that generally means that the cost of the phone and operating it and the monthly charges are going to be less than it would be if you're operating with the proprietary system like Verizon or T-Mobile. That's basically that. And open source means that people can contribute applications and can even contribute code should Apple wish to adopt it. And everything that's done about it is free, very much like Linux, if you're familiar with that operating system for computers. In any event, that's what that particular thing is all about, and that's going to be on the 14th of January. And the lady who is going to be joining us, Nicole, will have just returned from the annual Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, so she'll also be able to talk to us about all of the things that she will have seen there. And that, again, is actually 3 weeks. A week from tonight, we won't be here. 2 weeks, we'll have something else going on, which I'll share with you, of course, when we join you. So tune in, because that's going to be a surprise for all of us. And in the getting back to the news, we talked about durable goods orders. I have to explain what those are. Durable goods are things that last. And typically, when they refer to durable goods, the economists are referring to things like refrigerators and stoves and automobiles, things that we buy that are not consumables, that is, things that would be used up in about 30 days. So when durable goods orders are increased, the reason that's an advantage to the economy generally is because in order to fulfill the orders that come after, they have to start building new durable goods. Again, is the example, new refrigerators. If you buy a refrigerator, they're going to want to build another so that the next person can buy it. This is an oversimplification, but you'll get the point. What happens is, of course, that creates jobs. The more jobs are created, the better the economy does, and vice versa. So the fact that durable goods orders have increased is a real advantage. The unemployment claims. Now, again, unemployment is generally a lagging indicator, meaning it improves only after everything else does. Nonetheless, new unemployment claims are reduced again this week, and they are at their lowest rate since September of last year. Now, we're almost at the end of 2009, but this was September of 2008 when everything was going to garbage. So this is an absolute improvement. That said, new jobless claims could go up, and when you count the unemployed and underemployed, we have a pretty large group of people who need either work or more work. So we're not out of the woods by any means. Like Winston Churchill said at one point during the war, it may not be so much the beginning of the end as the end of the beginning, and that's certainly a good thing. We refer to Pope Benedict the 15th. All of you, of course, will remember well Pope Benedict the 14th. Anyone who does, please call in and tell me when that person served. Anyway, process of elevating someone to sainthood was moved another step forward when Pope Benedict the 15th approved the report of what amounts to an advisory committee that recommended the sanctification of Pius the 12th. Now, unless you are a very devout Catholic or something of a historian, you may not be familiar with who Pope Pius the 12th was. He served as Pope actually until 1958, I think it was. He was a fairly long-serving pope, about 20 years, and he immediately preceded the first pope that I remember in my lifetime, who was Pope John the 23rd. But Pope Pius the 12th was also referred to, in a book title, in fact, as Hitler's Pope. And the situation is that Pope Pius the 12th really did not do anything to try to help, and he was in a position to do so, to try to stem the Holocaust. And had he done so, I mean, it's impossible to know what would have happened, but perhaps it would not have been as bad as it was. He worked with the fascists in Italy and the Nazis in Germany, and many people are antagonistic towards him. And his reign caused a worse rift between Catholics and Jews than there had previously been. And a lot of that was mended later, but that was Pius the 12th's legacy. And anyway, after him was John the 20th. I'm trying to remember, just as an interesting sideline, after Pius the 12th was John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul I, John Paul II, and now Benedict 15. There have actually been relatively few popes. In any event, that's what is all about. Let's see. I mentioned the Nook e-readers. This is to some degree taking off. The Kindle is doing okay, and the Barnes & Noble e-reader, the Nook, is also shipping beyond what expectations were. So there are a lot of e-book readers out there and are going to be out there, and that's basically what that's all about. So I can't tell you that all of us are going to be carrying around our e-readers before long, but it is a possibility at some point. At this point, they're in the range of about $240, $250, so they're not an every-person device, but that may come to be. Frankly, I don't have any great desire to have one of those. It contains enough space for a lot of books, but you know, although I often read 3 books or so at a time, I can't imagine reading 100 at a time, or why I would want to carry around that many, even in electronic form. In paper form, they're just too heavy. Crude oil prices are on the increase, which seems strange because fewer people are buying gasoline. If you have fewer people employed, relatively, and I'm sure fewer people are going on recreational driving trips, it's hard to understand why it is that oil prices are going up. I would assume less gas is being sold, and the supply has been holding fairly steady. So it could be gouging, it could be speculation on the futures markets, but whatever it is, it seems rather strange. We talked about the Senate having passed the health bill, the health financing bill, which is different from the House bill, and now they're going to attempt to merge. They're going to have a conference, and they're going to come out with a bill. I mentioned we have a guest coming up, and momentarily she'll be calling in. That's my lovely bride, and that's what we call in radio a clever cue. And when she calls in, we'll be talking about the lifestyle we attempt to live and her viewpoints about that. And I can promise you we won't argue on the air because we never argue when we're off the air. And as soon as she calls in, by the way, you can call in while she's with us. The number remains 347, and I'll find the rest of it in a moment here. There it is, 347-994-3796. And in any event, when you wish to join us, you're more than welcome to do that. As said earlier, I don't imagine we're going to have a lot of callers or, frankly, a lot of listeners during our live session. And again, if you are listening in archive, you can join us on Thursday evenings, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific. And with any luck, I'm going to click her in. Are you there?
I am
no.
here.
There, you are there. Okay.
I am here, yes.
I know. The switchboard says you're muted, but I won't stand for that. Anyway. Hi.
Hi.
So, I was going to say, you're at the other end of our massive estate.
Yes. A pile of salt over the 20-foot length table.
That's right. That's it. We thought we would, as you know, we discussed the what we're going to talk about, obviously, but we're going to be talking about what is sometimes called a simplicity lifestyle and a deeper way of living. So
yes.
Why don't you tell everybody exactly what that is, what it's about?
Okay. Well, there's a lot that goes into it. It's basically that simplicity is applied to every area of your life. And that means that what you listen to, or sometimes more importantly, what you don't listen to, the fact that you might be reading on a night when you have some free time, as opposed to playing computer games or out in a club, that
watching television,
yes. Mm-hmm. It means that you might be eating foods that are truly a cornucopia from the earth, simply cooked with herbs for spices and not a lot of gooey cheese or greasy meat. It means that you listen to the wind outside your window instead of blaring the music really loud. And essentially what I'm trying to create is a picture of a life where you kind of touch bottom in terms of, not in a negative sense, but you know, you can kind of float on the surface of life. You can just mm-hmm. We're all sort of in that sea of our lives, and we can just sort of float on the top and not be aware of all the things below the surface, which are the beautiful jeweled fish, the gorgeous plants that are waving, you know, in the current. And those beautiful things are treasures that we have inside of us. But if we never listen to the silence, if we're always eating foods which are artificial and not in harmony with our bodies, if we have relationships which where we just talk and talk and talk, but we don't really say anything, or the only programs we watch on TV are kind of mindless, then we're not ever really discovering the treasures we have within us, which are lead to a very profound experience of what life is. And I think that coming into this, being in this recession we are now in, and frankly, at any time when people go through a crisis, and many people in our society obviously are right now, it is also an opportunity to discover a side of yourself that you might not otherwise have the opportunity to ever find out about, because you're so busy. The cell phone's never out of your ear. Well, now we're kind of being forced as a society to find something else within ourselves, within our lives, because mm-hmm. for a lot of people, a lot of the things that they used to depend upon are not affordable anymore, to put it simply.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, let me mention a couple of things here. I mentioned to you, and I'll mention now on the air, about 10 or 15 years ago, Pete Hamill wrote a column, and I'm reading a book of his collected pieces. He's a columnist for some New York papers, and he's been in the Village Voice, and he has written for a number of national magazines. Anyway, he was writing about drug addiction and was blaming it in part on the constant dulling of senses, which is something that you're talking about too.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about the constant dulling of senses by the amount of television that people watch. On average, at that time, when he was writing, most people watched an average of 7 hours a day, 6 or 7 hours, I don't remember, a day of television. Outside the issue of quality, since most people don't watch things of high quality, but even if they did, outside the issue of quality, no society in world history, though they've had plenty of entertainment options, but no society in history has had their people entertained, just entertained, 6 or 7 hours a day. Never. And he talks about drug addiction, which I don't want to get into that discussion, but the fact is that if you're, and this is what you're talking about, if you're having your senses dulled that much, as opposed to the example you gave, reading, then you are not going to be looking within yourself, you're not going to have any real depth, none of that. And in the same fashion, I know you've had this experience too when you were a kid. When I was, we didn't, in my family, we didn't have a lot of money. So in those days, we didn't buy books. We went to the library. So now we're having a recession again. Of course, in many towns across America, libraries are closing or reducing their hours. But still, they're available. And we'd go to libraries. We'd read books. Some of them would teach us things. Some of them were for an entertainment of a sort. But even in that kind of entertainment, when you read a novel, you learn things that have nothing to do with the story directly, but you learn things inferentially from those books. But even if you weren't, they make you use your brain, which is a lot different from just having the TV, you know, blare at you.
Well, I have another dimension I experienced with reading as well, and that is, although I've had a number of different types of experiences in my life, like most people have, I have only basically known my own life. But when, and I only can do so many things in whatever amount of time I have left.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read a book or see a film or hear music which profoundly touches you, you have a type of experience that you might not have of what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you into another area that you might not have ever discovered on your own.
Right.
And that is a very magical experience of life. You know, when I'm falling asleep,
mm-hmm.
I hear the sounds. There are trees in back of where we live.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a park-like
mm-hmm.
area. I don't know what birds do at night here. I can never recall having heard birds in any other part of the world that I have lived in that
right.
sing
at night.
We have birds that fly around and sing at night, and there's a distant hum of traffic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a feeling of a softness of listening. Just listening, just being present in the moment that you can sink into. And I'm not thinking about what the stock market is going to be doing tomorrow. I'm not, because although sometimes that kind of thing can be significant, although frankly not really very much in my life personally,
right.
but those details of life can be significant. You kind of have to push them away because they're not completely real in the sense that it doesn't really touch us deeply on a human level. And I think at bottom, what a simplicity lifestyle is being present in the moment and not buying into consumer culture, but having a really deep, rich level of experience. And I think that it can be, you know, a lot of us are very addicted to our cell phones, to our computers, but we need to see them as tools, not as who we are, not as central to our lives, because that creates a kind of confusion in what we are as human beings that we really can't afford.
Yeah. I don't think that addiction to cell phones is so bad. Just my opinion.
What is that line from the old Groucho Marx show from the 50s? About, I love my cigar, but I do occasionally...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little bit longer story. I'll try to make it quick. Man was on, and Groucho was asking the usual preliminary questions, and he said, are you married? And he says, yes, I am, Groucho. And he says, okay, great. He says, you have kids? He says, yes, I do, Groucho. I have 9 children. And Groucho raises his eyebrows, and he says, 9 children? My goodness. He says, how do you explain the fact you have 9 children? So he says, well, Groucho, I love my wife. A pause. Groucho says, well, I love my cigar, but occasionally I take it out of my mouth. And, of course, I don't deliver it as well as he did, but go ahead.
Well, speaking of that time, though, you know, as in contrast with our time, there were many things wrong with the 50s. In many ways, it gave rise to all the rebellion of the 60s, which is pretty much necessary because there was a lot of hypocrisy involved in that era. But there was a much simpler, slower, richer feeling to life back then with all of its problems that we seem to have sacrificed now. And the thing is that if you give yourself quiet time and if you do things that are simple and live in a simple way, and perhaps we should start giving some more examples of what that would be, what you really
Let me mention something because it falls into line too with the blaring of the TV on a completely different, well, I can't say a completely different level, but of a different type. You talked about foods. And you also talked about addiction, and you had the temerity to mention cell phones. But some people are addicted to things like fast food. And the reason those foods are addictive is because they're high in fat and salt. And frankly, you know, salty snacks are a whole different category. There is actually a category of food sales that is called salty snack, you know, potato chips, corn chips, and so forth.
Right.
And,
burritos, yeah.
Right. And in the fast food arena, there are people who eat that stuff, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a week. I imagine there are people who do more than that, a couple of meals a day at the fast food outlets. They don't cook. And weirdly, cooking is not hard. When I say that, I'm just talking about if you want to eat the kind of foods that I know you're going to talk about, or I assume you will, at home, you can cook, you know, as you know, you do sometimes. You cook a whole meal, a meal in a big pot, and then take from it during the week. You may mix it with other things. You may, you know, go ahead and only have that several days in a week for different meals. But that takes care, by warming it up, but that takes care of a lot of eating, and the idea of going and buying fast food, especially during an economically troubled time, is crazy economically, but it's also not good for you physically. But that addiction is there.
It's also not very good for your luck. It's not very good for you emotionally, because what we put into our bodies affects the kind of chemicals our brain produces. And when our body is not healthy, then our emotions are going to be unhealthy as well.
Right.
And it also, I believe that very eating simply, good, clean, wholesome, well-prepared foods, and if you're really going to do it right, you need to start investigating getting off of dairy products and replacing them with soy, cheese, and milk. And you can even get soy cream cheese. You can get soy sour cream. Anything that you have in regular milk products, there's a soy version, and they're delicious, amazingly good. And we haven't eaten meat in a long time.
Right.
But we can have a chili dog. We can have pizza. We can have, of course, the chili dog we eat is made of soy and vegetable protein.
Right.
And it doesn't have nitrates, and it's organic.
Mm-hmm.
But you can basically have, it won't taste exactly the same, but after a while, your palate simply doesn't know the difference.
In all honesty, in some cases they taste better. In some cases they don't taste initially as good because of what you're used to, but even immediately some of them taste better. And after a while, we joke in our house about the fact that cream cheese is one of your four basic food groups because I eat a fair amount of it. And before I got off dairy, I ate a fair amount of, regular cream cheese, the Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese, which it was great stuff in terms of taste. But the fact is that though I was off of cream cheese for a couple of years before we discovered the soy, that stuff's good. I mean, that is really, really, really good. There's a product called Better Than Cream Cheese, and it's made by a company called Tofutti, with the first part of the word being tofu. Tofu is a soy product, and initially they made desserts. But there's also soy ice cream. I don't recommend that because of the sugar content, but the fact is chocolate soy ice cream is really good, very tasty. And they have other flavors too, peanut butter, all kinds of things. Forgive me while I drool. But it is so much better for you health-wise. I also want to add, there are people who say when you talk about fast food being bad for them, say, well, I've been having that stuff for a long time and it hasn't killed me yet. And the response is, of course, no, not yet, that's right. But it is, in fact, killing you slowly. It is affecting your health today. You may not have diabetes yet. You may not have heart disease yet. Thankfully, you don't have cancer yet. But you're creating with that food that you put into your body, in many cases, precancerous conditions that will only be discovered much later, and you're creating situations where you become a candidate for heart disease, stroke, and a multitude of other ailments. And the truth is, and what I'd like you to talk about some more is the foods that are good for you actually taste good.
Oh, I have never enjoyed food as much as I have since I've become a really good vegetarian cook, which, frankly, I have to humbly say I am.
Well, I don't have to be humble. You're a fabulous vegetarian cook.
Thank you. And it took a while to learn how to create dishes that were good replacements for our previous meals that, God, been like a good 10 years now.
Right.
And it was a process of learning how to make pasta without meat, make a vegetable-based dish like a stew without meat, make chili, soups, salad that you sprinkle nuts and seeds over and add a little brown rice to and make. I mean, it is endless. The variety of things you can do with vegetarian cooking actually probably ends up have greater richness and variety than the average diet because it really unleashes your creativity.
Right.
And you really learn to put together flavors and herbs and textures and colors of vegetables, fruits, grains. And then, you can add the meat into it as well you can even add vegetarian Italian sausage with your pasta if you want to.
Right.
And it is amazingly delicious. And when you have a snack, there is a sense of really, when you really have a sense of nurturing your body, it brings all of you into tune and kind of brings you into peace in terms of your physicality. Because believe it or not, when your body, if you're not feeding it really good foods, is always fighting. It's always got waste products it can't completely get rid of.
Right.
Your immune system is fighting to maintain its integrity as well as all the other systems of your body.
And let me also add here, a lot of times there's two things. One is people will tend to ask you when you tell them, this is how you live and how you eat. my God, what do you eat? Without meat, how can you, you know, possibly have enough stuff to eat? And as Alicia was saying, there are a variety of foods. But the other thing, and I've heard this for years, in order to be strong, you have to have a lot of protein. Firstly, you get a lot of protein from a vegetarian diet if you know what you're doing. And it's not hard to learn. There's all kinds of resources out there. And additionally, I am, you know, proof. I'm in my late 50s. A week and a half ago, I ran a half marathon. I didn't come close to the front in terms of winning, but I finished it. That's 13.1 miles, and I haven't had meat in like 14 years, something like that. I don't know if that's cool. Yeah, probably more than that. Naturally, I live with an excellent cook, so you know I eat well. But the fact is,
thank you.
That you're very welcome. But the fact is that is doable, and I'm not Superman. And if you looked at me, you would say that I look, you know, in terms of physicality, rather ordinary. But and I, you know, in terms of that stuff, I don't look like a strong man, and I don't look like a super athlete, and I'm not in the latter category. But I can run a distance because I'm in good health, and I'm in good health partly, of course, because of the running, but also because of how we live our lives. And it's not just food. And so let me ask you to talk a little bit more about what it's all about outside the area of food.
Okay. I think I started on this, but let's talk about in a more esoteric way in terms of, you know, kind of turning down all the noise in your life, whether that's the radio, the TV, and when you do listen to those things, make it something that really nurtures you or educates you or touches you. But I would like to add that rather than spending a great deal of money on clothing, or if you're a woman, cosmetics, go for the cheaper stuff. Believe it or not, you're not going to look any less fantastic than you would if you buy a $100 blouse at Saks, or if you go to a thrift store, and I can hear people gasping now, that you really, there is gorgeous stuff at thrift stores, and for $5, you will not see, if you look carefully through the items in the thrift store, because some of it's not good, but some of it's fabulous, you will find that blouse. And possibly once it did go a little while ago, it did come from Saks. And maybe it did, but, you know, you're not going to really see that much of a difference.
And let me add to that. Let me add to that two things. Number one, Alicia used to be a model. She is still gorgeous. And though she's not modeling, though, it's true. And I have no bias here. I'm just an objective observer. But it is true.
Right.
Lots of heads turn when she walks into a room. But you know, when she goes out wearing clothes that she's bought at a thrift shop, other women come up to her and ask her where she got these beautiful clothes. And she wears cosmetics, as she's saying, that are less expensive than the you know, the high fashion brand names. She always looks great. You can do it. It's not that hard. And I will tell you that in terms of my own use, I often, almost all of my clothes, not underwear, not socks, but all, or for that matter, shoes, but everything else, pants, shirts, jackets, everything, virtually everything comes from thrift shops, because if I buy a pair of jeans, as an example, I may spend $6, $7 at a thrift shop for a pair of jeans that probably costs $40 or $50 if I bought new in a store now. The pair you buy in the store for $40 or $50 after three washings looks very much like the pair I just bought at the thrift store. And I don't know, for three washings worth, I don't mind saving, you know, $35, $45. And it otherwise looks the same. So it's really just a matter of ego and waste. Go ahead with what you were saying about the clothes you were, or the other things you were talking about.
Well, I did learn about putting clothing together in certain ways when I was modeling that has kind of held me in good stead all of my life. And basically, if you want to know how to do that, pick up any fashion magazine and just look at the patterns of how they put things together, and then go and get things and that are less expensive, and then use the patterns that you see, whether you see a particular type of necklace with a particular type of blouse, with a particular type of pant, particular type of shoes, you can essentially recreate that look at a tiny, tiny fraction of what you would see in terms of the really expensive clothing that you would get at some department stores or certain kinds of specialty shops. And it, you know, then you can take that money and use it in a way that enriches you. And it might be kind of enriching to put some of it in the bank and give yourself a feeling of security, to give a little bit of it to a charity, to buy a gift for a friend, to buy yourself a special book. And one of the great luxuries in life is really paying attention to where you are now, and to and even if you don't have an extensive home with lovely furniture, keep it clean. Have a sense of hominess in it. Keep it neat. Keep it organized. Make it be a welcoming place when you walk into it every night. I believe it's important. It may not be important for everybody in terms of their version of simplicity, but for me it's always important to slip into a bed that's made and to drink tea during the day, different beautiful flavors of tea, which very inexpensive way to reward myself and make myself feel mellow and good. And there are just so many tiny little things that are so enriching. Whether it's a long bath or just going and sitting outside, I realize that the weather is not really allowing us, some of us, to do that very often right now because it's rather cold. But, you know,
yeah, it sure is.
Extent it's possible, you know, just really look, really listen, really feel, smell those smells that are around trees, that are around plants. Look at birds. I mean, this may sound very Pollyannish, but the fact of the matter is, one of the reasons it does is because we live in this world in such an artificial way, which is really, to a large extent, so toxic to us. And we are such deep, beautiful beings that all come into this world with an incredible gift to share. And part of that gift is for us to enjoy. And if we can enjoy it within ourselves, then we also automatically extend it to others without even any thought. And by living as who we really are in a genuine way, we really do things to change the world that we can't even imagine. You know,
or necessarily quantify.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we came from, both of us come from a Jewish tradition, although we're secular Jews, we are not religious, but that is our ethnic background. And one of the most profound things that I think I ever heard was, if you save one life, in our tradition, it's said in the Torah, if you save one life, you save the universe. And the reason I have thought about that again and again, I may have misspoken, it may be that you saved the world, not the universe.
It was in fact the world, but go ahead.
Okay, you saved the entire world, right? Okay, well, first of all, you have to save your own life. But when you stop and think about it, each one of us is completely unique. There, even if you have an identical twin, there is something about them which will be of somewhat different. Nobody is completely exactly the same.
Right.
If we are unique, then if you save another person's life, and let's face it, it may be your own or it may be somebody else's, and usually if it's going to be somebody else's, it's got to be your own first.
Right.
But you not only save them, but you save their children. You save everybody that they would have spoken a kind word to, in a sense. You save whatever wisdom, and we all have it, to bring into the world. You save their unique view, their unique way of being, every other life that they would have been created because they lived in the world, in an ancestral way, generations, but also the changes that the words they spoke, the things they thought, the things they did, all those things changed the world. And by saving them, you saved the world.
And certainly changed it, you know, in the sense that had they not been there, you know, it's like the It's a Wonderful Life dynamic of, you know, if you hadn't been there, what would have happened? I want to do a quick, brief commercial. And before I do that, I want to invite you in the minutes we have left. It's a quarter past the hour, and we'll be here for another quarter hour. In the last few minutes, we'll have our endpoint essay. If you wish to call in and join us, ask some questions or participate, it's 347-994-3796. And the brief commercial type of message that I wanted to give you is if you're interested in seeing some of the things we're doing from a business perspective, you're welcome to take a look at our main website, which is bushmanenterprises.blogspot.com. So it's bushmanenterprises.blogspot.com, and Bushman is spelled B-U-S-H-M-A-N. With that, we're back. Could you talk for a minute? You mentioned it may seem trivial compared to what you just said, but in terms of, you know, some steps that people take. People drink a lot of, I'm one of them, actually we're two of them, I should say. We tend to drink more soda probably than we should.
Yes,
but,
one bite.
Yeah. Well, the other one I don't want to discuss on the air, if you don't mind. But anyway.
Okay, sure. As far as the
drinks are concerned, you mentioned the teas. And most people think about tea as bags of Lipton that grant, or what's that other one? Tenderleaf? There are some others.
Isn't there Nest Tea?
Yeah, Nest Tea, all that. And they think that's what tea is. But talk for a minute, if you would, about teas that are available, flavors, and the kinds of tastes that are there in teas that you can buy for, what, $3 for a box of 20 tea bags or 24 tea bags. Talk about some of the tastes and varieties that are available. No fair opening the cabinet. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, there are a couple of companies that we really like. One is Stash Tea. We also like Tazo, or I should have said three companies. We like Celestial Seasonings. And the variety of flavors is unbelievable. And they make, there's something about the herbs and the combination of flavors in a hot drink that really is like a natural mood lifter and also kind of a balancer of your physical energy. It really makes you feel good. And as
you don't have to drink them hot either. You can drink them at room temperature or cold. I mean, you can make them any way you want. Go ahead with what
that's
you're saying.
True.
I'm sorry.
But right now I've been drinking them hot because obviously it's been really cold out. But some of my favorites by Celestial Seasonings, as an example, is they have a pear tea, which also has vanilla added to it. I really love anything vanilla. So they also have a vanilla hazelnut tea. They have lots of fruit-type teas, like a tea that's a mixture of berries. I forget what they call it. Oh, black cherry berry.
Black cherry berry,
and,
great tea.
Yeah. And they have Tropic of Strawberry, which is, it's got not only strawberry, but it's got a hint of coconut and pineapple. And by the way, none of these have any calories or any
fat. Or any sugar. Right.
Any sugar, yeah. And you really get these flavors. It just goes like straight to your brain. It's great. And I really like mint teas, and Stash makes the most unbelievable peppermint tea. And it's not only good when you just want a lift, but peppermint has some very potent antiviral action. So if you have a cold, it really helps you feel better. It clears your head, and you're
good
not
for your
stuffy.
Stomach.
Yeah, when I have an upset stomach, one of the first things I do is grab some peppermint tea. It makes a tremendous difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about intestinal flu here. It really helps even that. So,
right.
Let's see what else is really good. One of your favorites is the Tazo passion fruit.
Right.
Tazo being the brand, with it's a more expensive tea, and it's really, they don't say, on the box it says it's not a tea, it's an herbal infusion. And it has this rich, purpley-red color, and it's a very exotic, flowery, fruity tea. It's just really beautiful.
Yeah, and it's slightly sweet and slightly tart, and I will also tell you that I have mixed that. I haven't done it lately because I've been drinking a lot of Good Earth tea, which is a brand name. These, by the way, the Celestial Seasonings are generally available in a lot of the bigger supermarkets, and they're also available in places like Sprouts and Whole Foods and stores of that ilk, and perhaps other ilks, but certainly that ilk. And Tazo is available more in the and Stash as well. Though some Stash teas are available in supermarkets, but the Tazo seems to be available. I've only seen it in the Whole Foods type of store. But what I was going to say is that passion fruit tea I have mixed with club soda or sparkling water, same thing, and it is as good as any carbonated drink. The only reason I tend not to drink that as much is because the other stuff we're talking about has, the Diet's Cola, and for that matter, Good Earth Tea, has some caffeine in it, and I find caffeine to be useful for getting through the day. But that passion fruit tea, boy, and some of those other teas, the black cherry berry, just plain, and I don't drink as many hot teas as Alicia does. I drink them cooler. Just delicious. Great tasting stuff.
And you really like the cinnamon apple spice as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which is a Celestial Seasoning tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's that mandarin orange. There's all kinds of really delicious stuff. So I guess what we're saying is that that's something we would recommend to you. As I say, a lot of people, when you say tea, they say, well, I'm not really a tea drinker. Okay, forget about that. This is, your impression of tea is wrong. You may decide that there are certain flavors you don't like, but you can probably, again, want to adjust to it by adding some sparkling water to it, so it's like the carbonated drinks you might be substituting it for. Just delicious and pleasant. And what Alicia was saying about drinking hot drinks, man, when it is cold out and you just come in and you take it, and one of the ways you can make this tea, by the way, is you take the bag, you put it in a cup of water, put it in the microwave oven. I like doing it for about a minute because I don't like it real hot. How long do you generally put it in for, sweetie?
A minute, 20 or 30 seconds, depending upon which cup I'm using.
Right. And so you put that in there, you take it out, you let it steep for about another minute, it's good to go. You drink it, and it is both relaxing and stimulating. It's kind of a weird combination. If they could synthesize it, they'd make a drug out of it. But anyway, it gives you a feeling of being hearty, no calories, no garbage. It's just really good stuff. So something else for you to consider. Go ahead. What you were saying? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move away from the subject of teas for a moment, and I just want to create a real quick picture. How much time do I have before I get off?
A poor choice of words, but we are about, let's see, we have 6 minutes going, and I need about three at the end, so go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to create just a picture of a day in a simple life, and this is similar to my day, but in everybody's version will be different, but I want to give people a feel. Get up and use organic skincare products that really make my skin feel good and leave it very, very healthy without all the chemicals that is usually in our typical skincare products. I don't eat breakfast for a long time, which is not a really good thing. I always have fruit and cereal for breakfast, organic cereal, and just a little bit of fruit, and sometimes a cup of cocoa that I make out of chocolate soy milk, hot cocoa. Really carefully clean our home, plan a day, plan a menu, and very often in complete silence without any sound except the birds outside the window. I listen for my inner voice, and I listen to whatever thoughts arise spontaneously, and I examine them. and I listen to the voices of the birds outside and the sounds of nature, and once again, the distant traffic and whatever else is out there for me to hear. And I also concentrate on keeping myself in a balanced state. I have a period of meditation during the day. Sometimes I do listen to music, and I make sure that it's music that enriches me, or I listen to a talk show, and once again, it's something, very often it's National Public Radio that gives me information, or will discuss literature, or a topic concerning health, something that I can really use, or I really find uplifting or fascinating. During days when you're at home, I make you a lovely meal for your lunch, and I go about my day doing whatever it is I have to attend to, but doing it with a certain amount of inner stillness. In the evening, it's a long shower, a long bath, with very fragrant soap. I really pamper myself, I pamper my body, because that is also a way of pampering my spirit and what I feel is my soul and my heart, my mind. And I have a short period of day, of the evening, which is purely recreational, and at that point I may use a very magical computer program that teaches me astronomy or biology, and I have a whole collection of these things. I really love them. Or I may watch a movie, or we may just sit and talk. And it's...
Don't give any other examples.
We're done.
No, I said don't give any other examples of how you may study music.
Anyway, yes, I was avoiding the more personal ones.
Okay, but we are at the end of the time before the essay and the conclusion of the program. We've got about 3 minutes left, so thank you. I will talk to you in a few minutes. That was my lovely bride, Alicia Bushman, and she'll be back on another show on another occasion. I hope you enjoyed that. She just hung up. Okay, so she's out, and that gives us time barely for our endpoint essay. And we were going to deliver this a few weeks ago, but we had those technical problems that we had, so we couldn't do it, and let's go into it now. We won't be here next week, but join us in two. As you know, we're in the holiday shopping season, and a couple of weeks ago, actually the day after Thanksgiving, they reported increased sales, although only slightly over last year, for what they call Black Friday. It is so called because... That's the day in the year when retailers tend to go into the black, into the profit. But I remember another Friday that was referred to as Black Friday. And although it was the same time of year, it wasn't about money and it wasn't about buying. It was about our country and death and succession. Those of you old enough to remember will recall a Friday in 1963. In case anyone wonders, I was a child that day, but I remember it vividly. It was November 22nd, and in Dallas, President John F. Kennedy was murdered that day. Lee Harvey Oswald would have been charged, but he was killed the following Sunday by Jack Ruby. Here it is, 46 years later, and the killers of Jack Kennedy still haven't been brought to justice. For some, that justice may come on what believers call another plane of existence. They killed, they got old, and they died. Others are still alive. It's become pretty clear over the years the real killers of the president weren't members, as Oswald was alleged to have been, of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. Rather, they were rogue elements, when the word rogue wasn't associated with an idiot ex-governor, of the CIA and organized crime. In fact, and as one of Ring Lardner's characters used to say, you could look it up, a libel trial handled by Mark Lane in court proved that one of the conspirators would later show up in stories about Watergate. But the conspirators guessed that after a while, no one would care about who killed the President of the United States or would accept the fairy tale that a guy who couldn't shoot that well shot a weapon that couldn't perform the task before or since. Unfortunately, they were right, and that just makes it likely that the same kinds of people will do it again. I hope, to all I hold sacred, it isn't this president, but it will be some president, and the cause will be not in the stars, dear Brutus, but in ourselves, because we, the people of the United States, didn't demand a real investigation and didn't require true justice. We are out of time. We hope you join us 2 weeks from tonight, which will be January 7th. And we hope you have a great New Year's Eve celebration and a great New Year's. And again, hope you join us, and we would be honored if you joined us by phone next time at 347-994-3796. If you're listening in archive form, we are on Thursday evenings, 6:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. Join us. Thank you, and we are out of here.